Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Wind Down Monday. Hey, Jen, we were just talking about how we wake up. I know I woke up this morning and looked at Instagram.
That's how. Did you see my post?
That's no. I actually didn't see your post, but that is the very first thing I did. I'm like, ooh, I wonder if anyone commented about our sprinkle we had. But what did you?
Well, I posted something this morning, and it always puts me in the frame. How you start your first 5 minutes of your day really sets the whole groundwork for the entire day.
The whole tone.
It sets the whole tone. If you start off going, this Monday,
yeah,
awful, what's going to happen? I'm going to get out of bed, get in the shower, get on your spin bike, whatever you're doing.
Your spin bike.
Well, that's what I did this
morning.
That's
a productive morning.
Yeah.
Already,
so
good.
I posted something this morning. It was, sometimes we forget how magical it is just to wake up in the morning. Take a breath. Wiggle your toes and open your droopy eyes and take a moment to feel some gratitude.
Yeah.
That you're alive and that you get to live this amazing day. Also, you are exchanging a day of your life for whatever you do today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to really set the tone and be positive when, no matter what's going on.
Wouldn't that be great if you could actually be regimented in that kind of mindset?
You have to train. You have to train yourself.
Well, Mike and I woke up and fought this morning, so that was fun.
Well, yeah. That is not a good way to start the tone of the day.
That was a good.
But
that was a really good.
What did you guys fight about?
Well, let me just say that's really funny because what we fought about, he just asked me coming in
the
exact same thing, and I go in my head, I'm like, oh, gonna save that for the podcast, because I said this morning, are you okay? And it turned into a complete S show. You're welcome, Easton, for not having to bloop that. But then when we walked down the stairs going to record this podcast, he goes, what's wrong? And I was like, nothing, honey.
But I was
we just got into a huge fight because you got mad at me for asking you what's wrong. But yet I just, so here, remember how we said last week we were going to talk about therapy?
Yes.
Have a therapy moment. This is our therapy moment right now.
Well, can we have some more details?
Yeah.
So, but did you just see how hypocritical you just were?
Oh, trust me. As soon as I said it, I was like, no.
Let me just take it back. But see how easy it is to, when you see something. So this morning when I saw him, he had woken up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He woke up about an hour earlier than me. And, you know, Jolie was, she's in this mood where she just wants the first thing she wants in the morning is to wear a dress. And it's just, if you don't put a dress on her, then it's a complete just, it's a nightmare. She screams. It's very frustrating. So, but, you know, we had to get her ready for school. It was a little chillier this morning and we didn't want to put her in a dress.
Right.
So a little bit of a thing there, but we kind of were like passing and I just said, hey, are you okay? And he was like, yeah. I'm just walking into the bathroom. I was like, okay. Like, sorry. Like, I didn't mean, I just was asking if you were okay. Like, I'm sorry.
It just came from nowhere where I was just like kind of walking by, straight face, just walking to the bathroom, get something. It's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just going through the morning. And then that was one thing. The second thing was we were all going to drop Jolie off together and then she was going to go somewhere before we came here. And Jolie and I start walking out the door and I like halfway close the front door. She's like, oh, are you going to wait for us?
I said, hey, are you going to wait for me? Because I still had to like, go in the kitchen, but he just was so already mad that I asked the question before that he kind of already shut me off. And then I go, you know what, babe, why don't you just take Jolie to school? And he's like, no, come on, let's go. He's like, I'm like, no, I can tell you're frustrated. And now he's like, I'm fine. I'm like,
I did not.
You were hiding.
What house were you in? I was like, I'm fine. I was like, I can't go outside with Jolie and wait for
you. Yeah, but that right there, that tone is what gets me like angst. Because
but you asking, are you going to wait for me?
Why does it matter if I ask you if you're okay or not?
Because why wouldn't I wait for you?
Okay, but, well, I don't know. You just seem like you were like in a rush to go.
I got Jolie in the car seat. We're walking outside.
Why can't you just be like, of course, babe. And then that be it.
But why do you have to ask?
Why does it matter?
I love everything about this. I'm so sorry. It's so fascinating because this is like
so codependent.
So many people can relate to this. And what I've learned is it's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I had a thing recently where three people told me the same story. Mm-hmm. They were all together and witnessed the same event, and they each told it to me differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening. Mike perceived what Jana was asking in a completely different way than you intended it.
You misinterpreted the tone.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. But I just don't understand why he couldn't have just been like, yeah, I'm all good. I'm just...
I want to know why "Are you okay?" triggered you.
Well, and yeah, so he comes. So, okay? so okay. So then time out. So then he leaves because are you okay? Well, because I'm like, when he responds in that way, I'm just like, clearly you're not okay, and I can't get to wherever you're at right
and
now.
And the wall went
so,
up.
And Jolie's sitting, like, standing there. I'm like, please just take her to school. Please take her to school.
Right.
So, you know, he leaves, takes her to school, and he comes back, and I'm waiting for my Uber. And, you know, he comes in and he says, Michael.
I say that I embrace her. I said, give me a hug. I said, I'm sorry that, you know, if my reaction can be hypersensitive at times, it's just my kind of, like you're saying, Jen, my interpretation, like how that makes me feel when it's kind of, we're just getting our day started. I'm still trying to wake up and I'm just kind of walking through the bedroom. And I, after, you know, 15 minutes of us being up together, I hear, are you okay? I'm like, the day just started. Like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, why am I being questioned?
And he's so triggered by, are you okay? Did you guys used to have that be the start of a fight?
My whole thing, like what I told her is my whole issues with not feeling good enough are so ingrained in me that if I hear, are you okay? That triggers me to think, am I not acting like I'm supposed to be acting? Am I not doing what you need me to be doing? And so I'm like, should I be doing something else? And then I'm all of a sudden not confident in what I'm doing in that moment. Again, it goes in phases. I'm not like that every single day, 24/7. It's just certain times are more sensitive than others. I don't know why. It's just I am.
So then what's the difference between you asking me when you see my face when we're walking down here, when you ask me if I'm okay? How is, could you see how contradictory
because
that
I saw
is?
You struggling in pain, like we're walking, we had to walk downstairs.
No, I wasn't at that point.
Okay, well.
It's so interesting. Like, I know that it's like you guys are like dealing with it emotionally, right. But for an outsider, it's so fascinating to see the way people interact, men and women. And then here's my question for you guys. After the hug and the he said, I'm sorry, are you able to let it go and move forward? Because my problem is I will hold on to it for a day and a half and I cannot let it go.
So that's how we used to,
used to be like that.
We used 100%. To not be able to rebound as quick. Now we're able to rebound faster, but it's still inside of me right now. Like I walked in being like, why isn't it okay if I just ask you a simple question? Why do you have to go straight to your, I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I just asked a freaking question. And wondering if my husband's okay. Why does it have to be like, why do you have to go into your...
What gave you the inclination to ask me if I was okay at 8:30 this morning?
You just seemed annoyed. You seemed quiet and annoyed. And, you know, maybe it was Jolie. Maybe it was you were in your head. I don't know. But why is it wrong of your wife to ask you if you're okay or not?
I'm not saying it's wrong. I never said it was wrong.
But you went straight into your stuff and then took it out on me.
Well, that's...
Is it not a man-woman thing? Because if Jana asked me, I would be like, oh, you're so sweet for caring and being so like intuitive into seeing my body language. And men hate that S. They don't want women digging at them.
So I was married to someone for a really long time who was the worst morning person on the planet. And I'm a morning person. I wake up happy. I'm so excited.
Monday.
Wake up.
I love Mondays.
It's Monday.
It's like, you're like the real life SpongeBob.
And so is Rocco. He pops up. Good morning.
I love it.
So I would walk around the house and I would be walking on eggshells because the energy was so dark.
Yeah.
And so frustrated and so angry. And I learned, I would say, hey, everything okay? Everything sucks. The world's a dark, you know, like he was just so angry and so frustrated in the morning. And it's really hard. Now I'm with somebody who doesn't mind if I ask, are you okay? And it's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
It really is.
I think for men, are you okay is just one step from we need to talk.
It is. You're right. It's like, oh, now I have to open up. Great. Now we're, you know, I have to pull out my emotions. So I'm just wondering if you were in your head and the energy that Jana was getting was kind of like closed up, and that's probably why you're like, are you okay? And maybe the tone was just, you know, it was a complete, you just misinterpreted. That's it.
Yeah, I think it was just a miss in general.
See, I think there are times when you, when he is just fine. Mm-hmm. And I do just ask a simple, and you know, and I misread the situation, but I just feel like today there was something that you were frustrated, that you weren't just okay and walking into the bathroom, because the response that you gave back to me was so just so annoyed at me that I was like, this didn't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
But I understand that, and I'm sorry that your first reaction is to feel like you're not good enough, because I don't want you to feel like you're not good enough.
I think it was Jolie was being a pain this morning. I was just kind of waking up from the day.
So your wife asking you a question on top of it was just
when it's like I just want to process this myself and get through it, and I'll be okay, and you know, and I'll have my emotions, and I'll be fine.
You wanted to take a beat. Anyways,
yeah, just give me a second.
Okay, so my mom called me the other day and she said, what do you want me to do with all these photos? She said she has so many photos of my ice skating videos. She's got photos of me when I was a little girl in school. And I started to think, I was like, man, they've all just been sitting in the garage for so long. How cool would it be if we had something where we can put it all together? Well, I'm so excited to tell you guys that there is a perfect solution. It's called the Legacy Box. So you send your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures, and they will do the rest. You guys, they professionally digitize your moments onto a thumb drive, digital download, or DVD. It's really easy to follow instructions and safety barcodes included for each item. You receive all your original recorded moments back, along with perfectly preserved digital copies. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. Okay, so I need you guys to go to legacybox.com/Jana to get 40% off your first order, or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Go to legacybox.com/Jana and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. All right, so I'm not on my period yet because I still got a baby in my belly. But when the baby comes out and I start my period again, I'm really, truly excited to use Lola, because I have a few friends like Jen who use Lola. And it's so great because I feel like whenever I go to the store, I don't want just so many of the supers or so many of the regular tampons or these many pads. What's so great about Lola is that it shows up exactly when your time of the month is, so you know that, hey, it's coming for you. And you can customize how many you want. So you can say, I want this many super, this many regular, this many thin, or if you want pads. Lola is founded by women for women. So for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. That's mylola.com and enter Jana for 40% off all subscriptions. Lola.com, promo code Jana. So we have an absolute legend that just walked into our studio.
What a great way to put it.
What a great, right?
The only
A total legend.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't even feel like I have to introduce you with now your voice.
I know, yeah.
Everyone knows Fran is here.
You ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Fran Drescher into the
room.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, sorry, my husband and I kind of got into an argument this morning.
Yeah, I was trying to be quiet and not.
Now she's like, let me give you my opinion.
I know, but I think we've cleared it for now. We're going to table it at the moment because we really are just so excited that you are in studio with us today.
Thank you
so much for taking the time to be here.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And we were talking about how we start our mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, you were talking to producer Amy earlier about how you start your mornings, and I start mine terribly. I look straight at Instagram, which is the worst possible thing to do, because I immediately just, I'm like, my life sucks. These people are better. Like, and then, but you start your morning feeding chickens?
No, I said feeding the animals.
Oh, okay.
But that's my tropical fish, my dog, and I have some wild birds that I feed. So that live on, you know, on the house and on the property. So, yeah, that's my great pleasure. When I first get up, I put on my chant music. I don't need to wear clothes. I just like to kind of be chill and naked and walk around.
Do you walk around butt naked?
Yeah. That's amazing. I love that.
All natural.
That's fantastic.
I hate, you know, once I get home, if I'm by myself, and even where I live.
Don't you get cold?
Well, if I'm cold, then I put on a robe. I'm famous for having a huge assortment of robes. So, yeah.
It's just so, this is so like nostalgic for us, I feel like, because I grew up watching The Nanny. It was one of my favorite shows.
Thank you.
Why have they not rebooted that show yet?
No, actually.
I mean, it was a huge success.
On something, but it isn't a reboot. But, you know, you never know. Something may happen. It seems like something that the fans would like. And they certainly know where to find me. But, you know, recently I've been thinking more about it. And I think that if I come up with the right hook.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a theme nowadays, is kind of bringing back older shows and kind of bringing back the nostalgia.
They do.
They have worked.
The Will and Graces, the Murphy Browns, those worked. So it's like, why not? You know, and cable, I feel like, needs that.
Well, for me, it would have to be really like...
you need Cardi B, is what you said.
Well, that would make it for me. That's amazing. Make it all come together and make sense and be fresh and everything like that. And she would be the nanny. I'd be her mom.
I'd
be Sylvia in this version. And get some sexy Latino to play my husband, Morty.
There you
Perfect.
Go.
And then get like some Obama type to be Mr. Sheffield.
Fun.
I love it.
Like a totally fresh version. But
that's fantastic.
But, you know, if it doesn't make my heart sing, then, you know, I'm always writing. I'm always producing. I'm always doing things. And my organization, Cancer Schmancer, keeps me very busy too. And that really makes my heart sing. You know, I feel like I got famous, I got cancer, and I live to talk about it, and I'm talking. And I think that we at Cancer Schmancer Movement is really making a dent. Like, we're really changing the way people think. And this year, at our health summit at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion on October 23rd, the theme is how you live equals how you feel. So we really want to connect those dots for people. To really start, if you don't feel great, you got to look at how you're living. Mm-hmm. It's always because of that. Mm-hmm. So very rarely is it because of anything else but environmental. What you know, and we have a very progressive program called Detox Your Home, because the home is the most toxic place we spend the most time in and ironically have the most control over. So start there with the in, on, and around you challenge. What are you eating? All of your personal care items, what are you cleaning, gardening with? Just kind of start with that. And you would be amazed if you just decided, I'm not going to do industrial farm foods anymore, because that's just full of agrochemicals that are not serving anyone well but the agrochemical companies. And, you know, kind of you start with stuff like that, and then you got to look at what's your toothpaste. Does it say, do not swallow? Or call poison control. It's like, do not use that toothpaste.
Oh my God, I've never looked at that.
Well, Jolie started, so hers said, like, you know, we have a almost three-year-old daughter, and I was reading, it says, do not swallow. And I was like, maybe we need to get her, like, better toothpaste, because if she swallows it.
Yeah.
Toothpaste should be like food, man. You cannot put stuff in your mouth that's toxic. The mouth is the gateway to everything. People don't even realize. I mean, you can't get, you know, like root canals. That's not good. You get extractions. You have to be so careful you're with the right person, because if you get cavitation in the jawline from a back molar, you know, you're asking for breast cancer. There's so many things if you have skin problems, you know, you'll go to a dermatologist and they're trying to give you stuff to suppress the symptom that's showing up on your skin, when really nobody is looking at hormones or liver. Skin is liver. Brain is gut. If you have brain fog, any, you know, dementia, Parkinson's, schizophrenia, depression, anxiety. Look at your freaking gut. The gut is the brain. I'm so stressed. The gut is the immune system. And you know what? It's a lot of fun.
I might feel my pulse. I'm getting hotter.
It's fun. The universe is constantly presenting us with opportunities to, journey on this journey of self-refinement. That's the only reason why we're here, is so that our souls can become more refined and get more woke.
How, you've been battling cancer for 2 years?
No, I am 18 years well. It took me 2 years and 8 doctors to get a proper diagnosis.
Wow.
So that's, is that my phone? No.
No, it's okay. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Do people just come up to you and ask you to laugh?
Yes, they do. Yeah. I call that my seal act.
Is it just kind of like, okay?
And, you know, I mean, it's, my voice is very distinctive. And thank God I found a way to monetize it. Let me tell you that. But my mom was once being interviewed and they said, did she have a funny voice when she was a kid? And in a very similar voice, she said, we never knew she had a funny voice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I'm not as unique in Queens, but it still is unusual, even in Flushing.
Was it hard, though, did you feel like typecasted because of it after the nanny?
I wasn't mad at the typecasting at the time because I felt like I was in a groove with, when I first started, the shows that were on TV was Welcome Back, Kotter, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
All the great ones.
And then my first movie was Saturday Night Fever. Wow. So I kind of slipped right in. And then, being funny, pretty, young, with a funny voice, that was my sweet spot. And it's good to be specific in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can be Meryl Streep. And the rest of everybody who's non-specific, I think have a harder time. You can be the greatest actor in the world and basically go unnoticed. But if you're, if you have star quality, then maybe you'll be noticed. And maybe not everybody wants to be a celebrity. A lot of actors are really shy and they just want to be serious actors. But, I don't have a problem being a celebrity. I like, leveraging my celebrity for the greater good.
Which it looks like you've done with all your cancer schmancer and, outspoken you are about things that you've been through. Something that Jana and I talk about a lot on here, we're big advocates for therapy. Personal therapy, couples therapy. I love it. What is it? How has that helped you kind of overcome things in your life? Or just do you still see a therapist to this day? Kind of tell our listeners about that.
I'm on a little break right now, but I went for 12 years right. to psychotherapy. And when I started, when Peter and I were splitting, I was like such a wreck. I went 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a commitment.
It is. Well, I couldn't, I needed it. And so much I had to look at because I was one of those people that didn't really let myself feel my feelings.
Right.
And, I'd numb my feelings with pot or I just would bury them. And I was even a victim of a violent crime. I was raped at gunpoint. Didn't really deal with my pain. I just said, I can handle this. March on, persevere. Right. Mm-hmm. And then 10 years later when I was famous on The Nanny and a lot of the kind of magazine TV shows mm-hmm. kind of exploited that. And even though I had written about it, they put it on like it had just happened. And my mom was getting calls, my parents from neighbors, what happened mm-hmm. to Fran? And it was like, this happened a while ago. But for me, I re-experienced it. And because I was in therapy, I had a PTSD.
PTSD. Mm-hmm. PTSD, right.
And suddenly it was like, oh, my God, this happened to me. And I remember lying on the couch and weeping, mm-hmm. you know, over and over again until, you know, I could sort it all out and really connect with how painful that all was. And I think that that was a contributor to my cancer. It's almost poetic that mm-hmm. I should have been in denial of being raped and then end up with uterine cancer.
Right. Well, they always say dis-ease causes exactly. disease.
I always say that, too.
Yeah.
So it's
ease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Deepak Chopra says, you know, the issues are in the tissues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to deal with your pain, man, it's going to show up somewhere in your body.
It has to manifest somewhere.
That's so true.
We talked to Deepak's daughter on here, and she said a lot of the same things naturally.
She's cool. She's done the, she's actually led meditations for my health summit.
That's so cool.
Yeah. How did experiencing a disease like cancer change the way you live your everyday life?
Oh, you know, exponentially. I mean, mm-hmm. over the course of the 18 years that I've been well, you know, and building this movement, I've really kind of tackled and looked at everything differently because, you know, the 20th century has not really served us well. It was the modern age and the convenient age. And nobody really challenged or questioned, but is this thing healthy or safe or good for me and my family? Right. And I think now in the 21st century, as we see an escalation in all kinds of diseases, autoimmune, inflammation, cancers, young, old, everybody, everything's getting mixed up. We have to start looking at, you know, what we're exposing ourselves to. And frankly, everything old is new again. I say keep it, you know, clean and simple and keep manufacturers honest. Your purchasing power is your power. And, you know, what you buy and for that matter, what you don't buy is your vote and your protest. And, you know, I mean, if we all stop drinking cola tonight, they'd stop making it tomorrow that fast. We don't need to know who's in the White House. We don't need to care who's in Congress. They're all middle management beholden to big business and the ruling class elite that's so high up where the air is so thin, they don't care about anything but weapons and slaves.
Do you drink red wine?
I don't drink anywhere near as much anymore because I am constantly managing inflammation due to the kind of elective removal of my appendix by my surgeon for my cancer surgery. So here's a little inside tip, listeners. When you have to go to the hospital and get surgery and you sign that thing, yes, do whatever you think needs to be done. Make sure you add to it only that directly relates to what you're doing. Because I remember in the recovery, I said, God, the right side hurts worse than the left. And the doctor, surgeon, very matter of fact, they said, oh, that's probably because we took out your appendix. And I said, why? And she said, well, once we open up your abdomen, you're at risk of getting infected. So we'd rather just take it out now than have to go in again. And you don't need it anyway. Well, fast forward 18 years and enter my world with doctors that went to medical school, drank the Kool-Aid, started practicing, began to get woke, realized that there's a better way, and now are reinventing the wheel of health rather than sickness. The appendix is the brains of the lymphatic system. Well, they took out the brains from my lymphatic system.
Mine too.
Mine too. I'm so stressed right
now. Wow. Do you have inflammation?
I just thought it was bloated.
No. You don't. Probably. I bet you a million things I can list that you're experiencing. Do you get sinus?
Yeah, I'm struggling with watery eyes and sinuses today.
Wow. See,
yeah.
That's.
I mean, look.
Yeah. That's well, it's because you don't have an appendix. So you're going to have to double down on detoxing your life because unless you do that, your body is going to start getting more and more congested because your lymphatic system isn't working at an optimum. Whoa. Now, there are ways you can support it. Dry brushing, always mm-hmm. up towards the heart, down and up, depending on what
okay.
end of the heart you're brushing. Dry brushing is very good.
I'm sorry, what is dry brushing?
You know, it's like a natural kind of hard, dry brush, and it's made out of natural.
And you brush your skin?
Yes.
I just saw that in a movie. What movie was that in?
Movie with that.
What was that?
Was it a real movie? Or
no, it was
a documentary about
it. It was no, it was like a Hollywood movie. But they were brushing this. What I can't.
First of all, it makes your skin really soft, but it actually does stimulate your lymph nodes, and that's your the lymphatic system is what is your helps. Detox the body.
Are Should we cancer? Be getting the massages then? The lymphatic massages?
Definitely that wouldn't hurt. I actually, for years before I connected these thoughts, used to feel sick after that because it was actually releasing toxins. So when I'd be on vacation, I'd say, I have a lymphatic massage. And then I'd start to feel, like fluey or something. And it's because it was releasing the stuff. So I don't really do that. That much. I do other things to help detox, but it is a good thing. I do reflexology to stimulate.
Are you cancer free now?
Yeah, thank God. 18 years.
Okay, 18. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so, fantastic. I was still in stage one. I'm wearing Invisalign, so I may sound like I have a speech impediment. I'm sorry, listeners, but my teeth are getting so pretty.
Are you still, where's your heart right now with love?
Right now I'm not in love. I'm in love with myself.
Love.
That's beautiful.
I have to say, it's a first, really. I mean, big time. I'm so happy by myself, with myself. And that was subsequent to the therapy. So we started briefly talking about the therapy. I went through every member of my family. I went in because my marriage was breaking up and I thought he was the problem. But then, I started going at everybody that I, in my nuclear family and peeling away all those onion skins and getting in touch with my own pain and everything like that. Then with my second marriage, after I thought that I had figured everything out, this dude pushed so many buttons. I'm so grateful for the relationship because, I learned so much about myself because of him. And so I ended up going to this shaman that became like my therapist as well as kind of a holistic helper to the way I go about living my life. And I found him to be very helpful. And he said, when you feel that feeling like, they're scraping a fork in my insides because I'm in so much pain that this guy and I are fighting. He said, that's because you are filling yourself from the outside in. Hmm. You're filling that with people and stuff. And, that will only satisfy you for so long. Then eventually people are going to disappoint you because they have their own stuff. And stuff is, never going to do the trick at all, not even come close to people. But eventually you're going to have to face the fact that you are responsible for filling you. And I said, okay, well, look, I have heard that my whole life, but how, what do I have to do? How can I turn this into self-love? And he said, are you listening? Every time you get that feeling, that angst, the loneliness, the, what did I do wrong? Why can't he love me? Why aren't I in love? Why is this and somebody? All of that stuff, every single time you don't get a job, you feel like it's the end of the world. All of that stuff, you must discipline yourself to say, and every time, you may have to do it 40 times a day in the beginning. I love you, Fran. I know how special you are. It's Fran and Fran till the end of time. Well, if I tell you just the first time I said it, it eased me. And every time I said it after that, I got closer and closer to understanding, oh my God, this is my journey. Mm-hmm. It's not even about anybody else.
Right.
Everybody that comes into it is just my opportunity on my journey of self-refinement so I can become a better human being. That's it.
It's like the healthy way of self-soothing as opposed to looking for outside validation. Did you ever consider kids to be like, is that something you ever strived for maybe that happiness or for that love?
You know, no. I actually was such everybody's caregiver. I really was OD'd on that. I didn't even have insight to why I was surrounded by so many basket cases and I felt like I had to take care of. I mean, it was totally self-imposed.
Right. It's amazing how many weeds we put in our own garden.
I needed to be needed. So I surrounded myself with needy people.
Yeah.
And then when I started to realize this, you know, but through all those years, which would have been the likely years that I would have had a baby, I thought I cannot have one more person need me. And if anybody needs you, it's a kid.
Yeah. 24/7.
That's like exactly. I mean, so actually now I think I would be the best parent I ever could have been. And even now, I think I'd probably maybe walk away from the business because I don't really have to work. And maybe I just kind of, you know, enjoy a village life with a kid and, you know, teach them how to be truly connected to nature and love themselves. And if you got those two things going for you, you know, you're it's money.
How can our listeners help with your charity?
Thank you for asking. Please go to cancerschmanza.org/summit and get tickets for my masterclass health summit. Be prepared to blow your mind. It will be a game changer. You will walk away and you'll know what to do. And you won't feel helpless, and you'll just be transformed forever. So that's one thing. Join. It's free. And you'll get all kinds of information from us. And if you can't come and support us, which ideally would be amazing, and then you could get face-to-face with the doctors and me, it's going to be a live stream.
Online, okay.
So, but again, it all goes back to go to cancerschmanza.org. And familiarize yourself with some of our programs. We have a Be the Change. Me and Jamie Foxx did an education video, and it's targeting teens. They're the first generation predicted to not live as long as their parents in U.S. history.
Wow.
And we don't want to make that a self-fulfilling prophecy, but, you know, they don't vote. They don't pay taxes. Therefore, they don't wield a lot of power in Washington. We are empowering them because they're a multi-billion dollar demographic. And frankly, they're not terribly discerning to advertising BS. So we're trying to wake them up to that because, you know, nobody in big business really cares about them. And the stuff that they are being convinced to buy because it's cool or it's going to make them popular or it's going to make them pretty is actually going to make them die young. And it's not serving them well.
Well, on that note, Brand Drescher,
thank
you so much for coming on Wind Down. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much.
So I have a question for you. Do you guys ever feel like we are more divided than ever? All right, if you're tired of hearing about all the things that separate us, you have to check out Spit. It's a new podcast from iHeartRadio with 23andMe where they explore all things DNA and how we are all 99.5% genetically alike. So the host sits down with some of the biggest artists, including John Legend, Melissa Etheridge, Pete Wentz, to talk about how the world of genetic testing is changing who we are and the world around us. So you guys, make sure... You know, I love that you guys listen to this podcast, but I also encourage you guys to check out full episodes of Spit now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. So I got my Thrive box in the mail the other day from Thrive Market, and I got to tell you guys, it's so nice. You know, right now it's getting a little harder to move around because I got a baby on the way, but Thrive Market makes it really, really, really easy for me. It's a revolutionary online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable. So you can shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products at 25 to 50%. Below traditional retail prices. That is huge. You can get everything you need from snacks, vitamins, beauty products, kids stuff, organic baby food, shipped straight to your door. You better believe that I'm going to be using Thrive Market, especially when the baby comes out too. So Thrive Market also now offers fresh meat and seafood. So that is fantastic. More than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon. And trust me, I did a test because I've always loved Amazon. Well, Thrive Market offers more. Get 25% off your first order plus free 30-day trial at thrivemarket.com/Jana. That's thrivemarket.com/Jana for 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. No promo code, just thrivemarket.com/Jana.
So how about the legend, Fran Drescher, as you, so?
Well, I grew up with watching
this. I know. That's what I'm saying. That was like the perfect.
Even you way said, to you're like, her. How crazy was. Like, we never would have thought that we'd be interviewing Fran Drescher.
Right.
Ever.
I just love it. I love her voice. It's amazing. I love her laugh. I loved being next to her. I have a weird voice. I can resonate with her.
You don't have a weird voice. It's just different.
I sound like a 5-year-old.
You don't sound like a 5-year-old.
I do. I was, my whole plan was to be a CNN anchor growing up.
Oh.
And said no. it didn't work out. It was incredible.
Someone's phone started ringing and I wrote down like, oh, better take this out. And then she started that laugh and I'm like, oh, this is staying in.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, it was no, so great.
Not gonna, that, I will say I have so much anxiety around everything. I mean, when it comes to the cancer stuff, because I feel as if, I mean, I know what we put on our desk or what we wash with. I mean, the Meyer stuff is good, right? That's
organic. Yeah. We have to stop using dryer sheets.
But I can't.
I know, but see, we have to.
Everything's
I can't
staticky
either.
Then.
I know I was, it, and I can't stop.
I was going to ask Fran, and I was going to bring up, you know, our conversation mm-hmm. with Samantha Harris right. that we had a few weeks ago and stuff, where, yeah, like, at what point, I understand. They're cancer survivors, so of course they're going to be
right.
all in, not hypersensitive in a negative way, but mm-hmm. very proactive in their life and what they put on their bodies, in their bodies, and so on. But for those that fortunately do not have to suffer from that, like, I still believe in everything's okay in moderation. You know what I mean?
But is it, though, with all the stuff they're now putting in things? I mean, look at our grandparents. Our grandparents didn't have all the pesticides on things, all the things they're pumping right. in the chickens, all the, they probably didn't have as much in whatever they used for. Did they even have deodorant? I don't even know back then, but.
They did. And it was aerosol. It was even worse.
Oh, really?
I do know. I only know this from experience. My stepfather, he passed away when I was 21, he was 50 years old. He was 48 and a half when he was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of lived through that. He was the healthiest person. He used to go up every morning and bike 28 miles. He was a golfer.
Right.
He ate great. He was an executive. He loved his job.
Got cancer?
He ended up, woke up one morning with a brain tumor and it was terminal. And I took him to treatment. I took some time off of school. I took him to treatment every day. There was nothing we could have done. We changed everything in the house in that right. meantime. You know, there was nothing we could do.
But is there something we could do before that? I mean, I know what you're trying to say.
But that's why cancer is such a beast.
It is.
Because you can't beat it. Like, even like your stepfather, like, he lives essentially almost a perfect life from a health standpoint. And there's still nothing you can do. There's so many right. people out there that suffer from that. It's like, what would you have changed in your life? Nothing, really.
Yeah, and but it's genetic.
Maybe there is something really, you know, maybe it is the food. Maybe it is the stuff we're putting in our system. Maybe those things are the steps to take. So you, I mean, like, for example, I eat a Think Thin bar every morning. I read the label and every morning I'm like, this is probably not good for me. It's not, you know, an egg with avocado on top of it. It's got stuff I can't even pronounce or say. probably shouldn't be eating that every single morning.
So my sister, she is battling cancer herself right now.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's been like...
No, it's not. But...
Well, it's not. But she found out she was... So she found out she was pregnant and had cancer all on the same day. And
when did you find out?
This was like about like a year and a half ago now. Okay. So she's been... So the baby's healthy, moral of the story. Mm-hmm. But basically she had to choose the homeopathic route because you can't do chemo with a baby.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
So she had to go through the whole homeopathic route and it was just like...
She's had a cancer? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Thyroid. And so she was about like stage two, stage three. So it was like very, very intense. And I mean, she chose to fight for her life for her baby, which was just like so amazing. And it just shows that there really is a way. Like she's still battling it, but like there's so many alternatives out there. And like for her, she's like never owned a microwave. She never uses Teflon. Mm-hmm. She's a nutritionist. Her husband is allergic to soy. So like soy is like one of the number one contributors to cancer. It feeds it quite literally, same as sugar. So she had to like learn a lot from this, but it's like she still got it and she's like the healthiest person ever. So it's just kind of that thing where it's like life happens, but she even investigated. Right. She's like, even when you buy organic food, it's like really not that organic anymore. Our soils are just so like just filled with pesticides and toxins. So it's really hard. I think we just live in this day and age where it's like you can just do the best you're going to do and like things are going to happen. But there's like ways to overcome it, which I love her story, though, is that, you know, sometimes it's like you really have to pay attention to your body. Like your liver is so crucial. Like my sister Kylie, she realized her liver wasn't functioning. So sending all the toxins to her thyroid, which is like your controller system. It's basically like your PlayStation, like controller. You can't work without it, you know?
Right.
Wow.
So she just had to like really go through a lot. But I mean, it's true. It's like telling, I mean, she has an awesome story.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, that's
it's just incredible. Like you can't really do anything to prevent it, and like genetics feed a lot into that, and your
different
gut
things help
huge.
For different people.
I think there's, I mean, what you just said. There's nothing you can't do to prevent it. If you're eating a McDonald's cheeseburger every single day,
you're right. I do take that back.
Or like
you're being sedentary, like you're just sitting.
Again, if you're having 20 Splendas a day,
it goes back to moderation.
Then maybe
it goes back to moderation.
It's tough. Like, my sister's like, I'm not gonna live my whole life like fighting this. Like I want to be able to breathe and like have a cookie with my kid.
Right.
But it's like also tough because you're like, but you're battling this deadly beast.
Yeah. Is she going to end up doing chemo?
So she's really against it through the research. Mm-hmm. And again, everybody does their own thing. And I respect that. But investigating her decision to kind of see how far she can make her body as healthy as possible before going in.
That's great.
Western medicine does kind of compartmentalize. So for her, she was like, I want to see what is going wrong with my body before going with further things. But I think she'll have to go get like surgery, maybe get it all taken out because it's getting to her lymph nodes, which is like a little bit. Because then, what happens after thyroid goes to your lungs, goes to your brain.
Right.
So
it moves
it gets
up.
Pretty intense. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm really sorry that you and your family and you know, she's going through that.
But it's crazy. I mean, we got to all learn how to like make our bodies healthy. And I love that she's using her story to be like, hey guys, like let's figure out how to make our bodies healthy.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's really not.
Yeah. And I think to your point, Mike, it is about moderation. But I think there are things too that we could be more conscious of that.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
again,
anyone sat there and thought about it, it's like, what could I cut out today? Could you cut out think then?
I can think of five.
Yes, but I don't want to because I like having him in the morning.
I know.
They're fast. But it's
is
easy.
There something
it's, but yes.
out there like, that we could.
I like stevia in my coffee.
But see, that's in here. And I wanted to start drinking
so
coffee.
I like sweet and low. And I think that's like the worst one. But.
Well, I don't know what is. I mean, I think they say.
I think
they're all bad. But yeah. One of the reasons why I don't drink coffee, not only because of my anxiety, I've been really craving coffee after this baby. And I'm just like, man, I can't wait to have a cup of coffee. But my problem is I'll put 10 Splendas. So I actually stopped drinking. Or no, I stopped in my tea, too. I would do 5 to 6 Splendas in my tea.
That's a lot.
I know. So I stopped doing Splenda altogether and then just drinking regular tea, which I did pretty well there for a minute. But I don't know if I could do that with coffee. So I don't know. It's just I think we can be more conscious. And I'm curious what the listeners out there do to live a conscious life. So you can email us at JanaKramer@iHeartMedia.com to give us some tips, what you might have been cutting out to help without.
Yeah. And what do you do instead of dryer sheets? Help us.
Well, I've been using the baby Gannix for Jolie's dryer sheets, but are those good?
I don't know.
I mean,
I just know Fran, Bonnie Hunt, like Bonnie,
why? What do they say about
dryer
sheets though? What are they? What's wrong with
that
them?
They're just so toxic. And then we're, you know, it goes into our clothes and then we're putting our clothes on. We're wearing them for 14 hours a day.
But again, okay, we've talked about dryer sheets a decent amount. Okay, but that's on top. That's topical, right? That's on top of your body. And also other things we've heard is, you know, putting things inside your body, I would think, are more important to change before a dryer sheet.
Well, no. Right. You think about deodorant. Deodorant doesn't go inside your bottom, but it soaks in your body. Just something on your shirt could soak into your skin.
Correct, correct. But that's not the fastest route to your organs and to your, you know, your system. So that all I'm saying is that, like dryer sheets, that'd probably be towards the end of things that I cut out.
I think we need to go to her medical summit.
Cancer schmancer?
I'm just stressed. I'm scared and I'm stressed. And honestly, one of the things, I mean, not to like bring up your stuff, Mike, but because so many people that go through a tragedy or a big event in their life, if they don't, which I'm glad we've talked about our stuff, but that's like one of my scariest thing is because we've had someone that's gone through affairs and she ended up getting cancer. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said when you don't, when you hold in all your
dis-ease.
Stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Absolutely.
And I'm like scared. I'm like, am I going to get cancer because the 2 years that we've fought, you know? And so that's always been kind of in the back of my mind, which I'm glad that I haven't, but I still hold in certain things. But then it's like, well, everyone has stress.
But now we're doing things to alleviate those right. mental stresses and stuff. And that's why I'm glad Fran said that, because therapy is a huge mental aspect to alleviate problems that you might deal with that cause stress that ultimately can cause cancer.
Right.
So that's taking care of yourself mentally as opposed to in addition to physically and keeping things out of your body.
But you guys aren't stuffing feelings down anymore.
Right. We're letting them out. We're letting them go.
I think we do at times.
Yeah, but at some point you're letting them out because
the same
you're
weight.
Going to therapy. Exactly.
It doesn't hold the same weight.
What are you guys doing like specifically though to like wake up each day and like alleviate your stress? Like what do you guys do together? Besides therapy, because obviously it's a huge one, but
communicate.
And
you check in every
night. We communicate. Last night.
That alleviates us from that building. Pressure and like building and building and building up to our neck. It's just, it's a little bit and then we let it go.
Do you guys have like a code word of when you're like, hey, we need to discuss this? Like I'm maxed out or something? Like what do you do? Like how do you welcome that?
We try. We're having a hard time with that. I think that's something that hopefully we'll be able to get better at. We need to learn how to table things better, and we need to learn how mm-hmm. to
check in better.
No, because our check-ins are great, but it's, I guess it's hard to, I think we, do you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to understand.
Because I feel like we don't table things well.
Like table it for later?
Yeah. That's something that we need to get better at. We do not table things well at all.
Yeah,
we've gotten better, but it's still not good.
Because we're stubborn and we just want each other to hear our sides. Listen to me.
So should we really read an email?
Yeah.
So I like this one. I want kids and my husband doesn't. I'm 30, been married for 5 years. I'm happy for the most part, but not always. My husband is 36 and isn't as ready for kids as I am. This worries me because part of me feels like he would be fine without having kids completely, but I am not at all okay with this. He says he wants kids, only one though. I want at least two. I'm just worried when a kid does come, which we are currently trying, he isn't going to be as involved as I will be because I am much more of a kid person. I'm a teacher and love kids. Also, how do you keep the love alive? Sometimes I feel so annoyed with my husband, and some days I wonder why I married him. Is this normal? It's so normal.
No.
Like today, with our argument this morning, I just, and you know what's so funny is I almost Instagrammed this morning. I just want to say that I'm really annoyed with my husband right now. And it's okay. Still love him, but I'm still annoyed by him.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. But I think normal for people to be annoyed with their spouse. But I will say
you're not going to like me every day, but you're going to love me.
Yeah, I'll always love you. But yeah, some days
I don't like you every day.
Why?
here we go.
So it's a one-way street?
Two. Yes, it is.
Round two.
All right.
No, but I think for Kelly, though, and she wants kids and husband doesn't, if the husband's actually trying, then that means he at least, because I know husbands that say not at all, and they don't even try.
Isn't this a conversation they should have had before they got married?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're not laughing at you, Kelly. No shaming, no judging at all.
I just think this is something that people just assume, and they're so excited to get married that they forget to have this conversation. And it is such an important conversation.
It is. But I do know someone right now that they both were very strong and adamant. They do not want kids. Well, now 6 years later, she mm-hmm. wants kids and he doesn't.
See,
and he's like, I've always told, I told you, I do not want kids. And she's
you,
like,
well. You have to defend him in that case because they had that as that discussion. If she wasn't authentic from the beginning.
No, but she was. She did not want kids.
Right.
Well, so what are they going to do?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's okay to change your mind, I think.
It is because
but you have to accept the fact that he maybe is not going to be on that same path.
Which, what does that mean? They need to go separate
ways. I mean, if Michael, if we had gotten married and he said, you know, I don't want, we said we don't want kids and I changed my mind and he says, well, actually, I have a great one. My girlfriend, she was married. He didn't want to have kids. She ended up divorcing him because she's like, I will forever regret not having a kid. Mm. I will regret, I will be, what's the word? Like resentful towards him.
Yeah.
And so she left and she ended up adopting.
Okay. So Kelly, you need to investigate. If your husband is going to change his mind,
well, he said he wants kids. Only one though. She wants two. Now they're trying, like you said, Jana. Obviously, he wants to because they're trying to have one.
Right.
If you have one, and she's worried about him not being an active parent, a present parent, I'm optimistic that that'll change once he feels that love and compassion for this human being that he helped create. Because once you have a child, I feel like that's when you really understand unconditional love on a whole new level.
But there's no guarantee because
there is no guarantee.
And
I was
he
like
maybe
a single parent for 4 years.
And if he really doesn't want one, then it's like.
There is no guarantee. And that's why I made sure to choose my wording correctly, not say positive or guarantee. Right. I said I'm optimistic.
Hopefully.
Hopefully
we hope.
That he would be that way.
Should we read another one?
Okay. So you guys, we have one from Anonymous. I know why Anonymous is anonymous.
Mo's speech for a groom I don't like.
Man of honor speech for a groom I don't like.
No, is it maid of honor speech?
Oh, is it maid of honor?
Right?
It is. It's a matron of honor. So she's actually married. Matron of honor means that she's married.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all experienced this once in our life, right? So I'm about to be matron of honor in my very best friend's wedding. But I hate the groom. It's in capitalized H-A-T-E.
That's some
capital
hate
letters.
When you have to capitalize hate.
Yeah. I do not think he's good for her, but she is set in her ways, and that's who she's choosing. It sucks, but if she's happy, I am too. That's not true. But how the hell do you write an MOH speech when I can't find one nice thing to say about him? The whole speech will just be how much I love my best friend.
And that's fine.
That's totally fine.
That's it. She answered her own question. Just make it about your major. Make it about the bride.
Yeah.
And how much you love her and
how happy you are that she's happy.
That she's happy. And again, when you said you don't think she is, I think, you know, you still want your best friend to be happy. I hated my girlfriend Amy. I love her to death. Mm-hmm. I hated her boyfriend for like the where we even weren't. We couldn't even be friends because he hated me. I hated like it was just bad.
Wait, are they still together?
No. Okay. She's engaged to a lovely guy. Okay. Like she's getting married next year. I'm so happy for her. But there's a point where it's like if she's happy, you have to just accept. But it's sometimes can be so hard that it's just. You can't even.
Have you ever been at a wedding where you know this will not work?
Like, absolutely.
My own.
Previous weddings. Not ours.
Yeah.
I was a bridesmaid in a wedding, and I remember just standing up there in a terribly ugly bridesmaid dress, just thinking, this will never last.
Really? Like, this is a waste
sure
of time.
It did not.
I haven't, besides mine, not Michael's, the other one, besides that, I haven't. The ones that I've been at, I really truly have felt like they would stay together, and they have so far. What about and your friends?
No, all my friends, I definitely are gonna make it.
Fingers crossed.
They
it's won't. So hard.
They it's won't. So.
I don't want to be like bitter party of one, but like they some will, some won't.
So, yeah,
the 50 odds are not
well,
in their 50% favor.
50% of them.
I heard it's 40% now.
Is it
marriage drop? The
because
divorce drop.
A study that came out that said
Jana and I single handedly raised lowered the odds.
Marriages are
if
like,
they can do it.
Like it's not 50%. It's like 45% or something. And then their article had like a million reasons as to why and
because nobody's getting married anymore.
I think they people are getting married later. So that becomes a thing. And then also
marriage is down.
They're maybe marrying smarter and then they just don't want to get divorced and split the money. So I think they just live miserably.
Fantastic.
Ooh, that's also an
that
option.
That sounds like so much fun.
That's on trend right now. Just staying together and being unhappy.
Hashtag miserable. Miserable. I can't even say
no,
it. Miserable.
No.
So I just was traveling this past week And let me tell you, I walked around trying to find a cord to plug my phone in for at least 20 minutes. It was so frustrating. I ended up having to walk way past my gate. And now I'm so excited because I get to talk to you guys about Away luggage. So it's first class luggage at a coach price. What's so great about it is that you can charge anything that has a USB cord. So carry on, cell phone, tablets, e-readers, again, anything powered by a USB cord, it's going to be charged by your Away luggage. It's a 100-day trial. Live with it, vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it. If you don't like it, you return it, free refund. So how cool is that? Again, it's so nice. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times, and you can sit perfectly at your gate, not trying to find a freaking outlet for your devices. So for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/Jana and use promo code Jana during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/Jana and enter Jana for $20 off. awaytravel.com/Jana and enter Jana.
Let me read it.
Yes, darling. I'd love for you to read this one. I've just gotten a brief.
All right, this is from Anonymous.
And I hate
emotionally
it already.
Abusive boyfriend. Today is my 5-year anniversary with my boyfriend,
Shane. Sorry.
Anonymous.
Well, she's from Anonymous, but she wrote his
name. He's 27. Now, that's normally a good thing that makes people happy to say, but today I'm feeling extremely defeated. I'm currently sleeping in my car as I write this email to you. I had helped his parents clean up a bathroom that had overflowed with poop water from their septic being full. So once I had cleaned up, I asked him for some cuddles. When I asked for some time with him, he said, I give you attention all the time. I see you all the time. I want time to my effing self. Ooh. And last week, I was suffering extremely bad migraines to the point I blacked out behind the wheel and almost struck a telephone pole. I decided it wasn't a good idea for me to be driving anymore and made an appointment to see my GP. His response was, I'm not waiting an hour for you to see your doctor. So I had to find another family member to get me to my appointment and take me home after.
Why are you still with him?
So currently I sit bundled in my car with a blanket, pillow, and my essential needs to make it through the week. I haven't received a text or a phone call from him. My question is, when is it time to throw in the towel?
Now.
Yeah. I know I've been dealing with emotional abuse from him for years, and I've accepted that's just who he is. But I'm constantly torn between giving up and fighting for him because as we always hear, when you're in a relationship, you're not supposed to give up easily. But when is it time? I'm so lost and confused and don't know what to do. If I was to leave him, I'd have nowhere to go.
Okay, I just need to start because I'm my first response is to cry because I remember sitting in my car from my abusive relationship with my ex. And I remember being like, when is it time? And that was, I still stayed with him a year after that, and because I was like, I have nowhere to go, I have no money, he's in control of everything, I need him, because they make you feel like you need them. They totally manipulate you into thinking that you're the problem, it's all your fault, you're not good enough, you're never going to find someone good enough. I promise you there is a better guy for you than Shane, because how he's making you feel is so uncalled for. But I feel bad, you know, saying leave now, because I remember being in that situation and not having the strength or the willpower to leave. So I feel like a hypocrite saying now, leave now, because I didn't. So that makes me like a huge hypocrite because I stayed in it way longer.
You're
than
not a hypocrite. You're someone that's been through it. So you know,
right. But I also know where she's at, and it's going to take her time. Unless she has like really, truly the power to realize that she deserves better. And she like it's I mean, it took me to him trying to kill me to get out of my relationship. Right. And I still slept with him 2 nights after he tried to kill me.
But don't you wish you would have had someone?
News and awful. I just can't believe I shared that. But yeah. But that's how twisted they make you feel.
But if you could have gone back to then and you knew someone who went through a very similar situation, they told you that they contemplated it and weren't sure and struggled with the decision, but then ultimately made it and they turned out okay. Wouldn't you like to hear that story and hear if I could and go back, I would have left then?
I don't think I would have left. I still don't, because when she says, because she goes right here, I'd have nowhere to go.
And because that's got to be
terrifying. So she feels helpless.
Yeah. And because I had... because he made me feel like I had nowhere to go, which and I'm saying to this anonymous, you do have a place to go. You have, hopefully family, you have your family, you have, but my mom didn't know that I was secretly married to this guy. My friends didn't know. I really truly had. And when I did go somewhere, I was, you know, they didn't want me talking to the person. I'm like, well, you don't understand. Like, it's just, we just had a fight. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's like. You have to get to that point yourself, and we can tell you to leave. And when you say, like, when is it time, that he doesn't sound like he's willing to change. And then I look at our situation. I should have left a million times too, but when things kept happening, but I stuck around to see if you would change, and eventually you did, thank God. Mm-hmm. But it's still a cycle.
Yeah, but there is progression through our story, right? You know what I mean? So it wasn't just like woke up one day and everything's different. It was progression. It was both of us learning how to deal with things and be different in our own way.
Yeah, and if he's not showing
any progression or giving anything, which from the email he hasn't, mm-hmm. then it's like, you know, he's 27. I imagine she's around the same age. She's not as young as you were when you were going through this.
True.
So
that's true.
You know what I mean? So
she's a little smarter.
She's a little smarter, maybe has a little bit more stability, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in my opinion, it's time to go. Jen, you agree?
Yeah, I think she needs to work on herself first and find her voice. And I think she's probably in a really insecure place. And it's going to take her time.
And you know,
she has to leave.
Has to.
This is miserable.
And what the positive of this is, they're not married. Mm-hmm. They don't have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
She's still in her 20s.
Yes.
Like, you got so much ahead of you. That
so much to enjoy. You deserve to be in a loving relationship.
So much to enjoy. So much to be optimistic about. Mm-hmm. Yes, you spent the last five years of your life. A lot of growing years in your mid-20s, right? That's when you grow a lot. But you got nothing but time on your side now.
Well, I hope she leaves, because it just breaks my heart for her.
So. Anonymous, get back to us. Yep. Let us know.
Bye, Shane. Love you guys. Thanks for winding down. I'm kind of upset right now, so I'm just going to end this episode. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks. I can't hear the music.